Dane,
Yes, sir.
We really botched up this Philippine briefing yesterday. Our poor friend Bill Bundy got in and got helpless. Just his brain got constipated, and he started talking about dollars.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to cover it by having him explore space with us and oceanography and set up a stabilization program and insurgency school and all those things, but they said that the bureaucracy at the department didn't want to mention those. They wanted money. So the whole thing is just very much against what he wants, what Marcus wants, and of course what I wanted. The leads on the story is that Marcus left the White House with a package full of money and so forth. Fulbright's telling all the senators that we paid him so much a word for that speech yesterday, and since it's such a long speech, pretty good, and others won't know if we didn't pay him by the minute.
Mm-hmm.
And that type of stuff. And we told Bill Bundy never to get into dollars, just say the food was going to be along the same lines that we'd been doing in the past, and the economic aid was in the aid bill presented, and Congress had approved it, and that rehabilitation of the equipment was a very minor matter, $1 million to rehabilitate some old equipment, and that program would be so very much like it was. So he got in, though, and he said it's very substantially increased and just played it just the opposite. I gave him hell about it this morning. He said, well, it just said we decided, and I said, who? And said, Bill Moyer, Walt, and I. And I talked to them, and they said he's just lost. Said the poor fella just violated the instructions of both presidents. Both of us told him not to mention, not to get into that. But he felt he had to. If he didn't, he would have more trouble later. So anyway, I thought you ought to know that, and we ought to turn off the heat from whatever bureaucracy it is on how much money we're buying this fellow with.
Right.
Because that is the play of the Kennedyites and the Reds around town, the little Kersmans.
I will try to turn this around a bit at my press conference this afternoon.
I just sure would. I'd take every item and show that it's a regular, moderate item been presented, and that the president did not come and did not spend any of his hour and 10 minutes even discussing loans or aid, that he said he didn't want to discuss that, and President Johnson agreed. That they talked about the space thing and bringing some fellowship people in here, and they talked about studying the waters out there, oceanography, and they talked about an insurgency school, and they talked about the Asian Development Bank, and I'm going out there sometime, some way, I don't know how, but if you want to drop that, you can say they talked about that, because he did and urged me to come.
Right.
And I think that'll give you a little something dramatic that'll get them off the money that I'm going out there. Another thing, I was a little worried about the backgrounder that quotes the president as making a decision final on China. I don't think they ought to be saying my decision.
No,
I think it was real dumb, and I don't know who did it, you know?
Well, apparently, this was derived from a backgrounder that Cisco had yesterday. I'm very sorry that you were drawn into that.
Why did he do it?
Well, I don't know that he himself mentioned you. I think the stories may have picked it up, but I will, again, I've got to try to clean that up a little bit at the press conference this afternoon. I thought I would indicate that the basic situation remains the same, but Peking has said that it insists upon the expulsion of the Republic of China, that it insists upon a reform of the United Nations, that it is standing as a barrier to the peace in Southeast Asia, doesn't permit the peaceful machinery to operate, and sort of fuzzed over a bit today in my press conference.
I would, and I think, though, that I could say that the president's very anxious. He's made an offer several times. He's made a bid several times to China only to have the door slammed.
Right, right.
That the president, that's the only decision the president's made. And say this other matter is a matter that's always under consideration. And I would make it abundantly clear, though, that if this boy Cisco is going to get out on the firing line, he better damn sure quote himself, mm-hmm. not the president.
Right, right. Thank
now,
you.
On this other thing, Dean, wait a minute. On this, I guess this would be impossible, but I'm told that all the writers are getting ready to mob us because we don't, that you basically oriented toward the Pacific area and other parts of the world instead of Western Europe, and the Jews and all of them think we're going to hell over there, and NATO and Lippmann and Fulbright and Mansfield, and we're too much Asia. So we ought to have somebody in here that can kind of be known as Ball has been, as the European man, Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know we take this, but we got to think about it. I thought about it a good deal yesterday. Do you think this might be a good combination? Try to consider the Katzenbach.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Rostow. Gene.
Mm-hmm.
That would put two of you above him. And Katzenbach thinks very highly of him. He says he thinks this other story is exaggerated about his being too impulsive. He said he does have ideas and said we ought to be having ideas.
Right.
And we need someone like that. He thinks he's very good. Said he ran a hell of a good law school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Kohler, if for no other reason to give us a fresh for number for the Alex Johnson thing, give us a fresh voice in there that's kind of in the Moscow. And then we might see if we couldn't shift Lodge to Paris and Westmoreland to Vietnam and Boland to Moscow if he'd go there for a year or two. He's a very perceptive fella and a hell of a good reporter and very experienced, and I think that this crowd here that wants to play with Moscow so much
mm-hmm.
is a little bit down on Kohler. And Kohler, I was quite impressed with him during the Berlin problem, and I think he's a pretty good workhorse in that job, and
mm-hmm.
defense likes him, CIA likes him, you like him.
Mm-hmm.
I think then if we could take Katzenbach and Rostow and Kohler and then look for the good heel man, if we can't find a good aggressive one that can make some headway, we might ought to give some thought to that fellow Marriage or Secretary under the Republicans and check him out with Bill Fulbright again. See, somebody told me, some senator, that they considered him very good.
Very quiet, very effective.
We might give thought to that. Now, what is wrong with this combination, as you see it, of Katzenbach, Rostow, and Kohler?
Well, I'm very enthusiastic about Katzenbach, and the sooner we could do that, the happier I would be. Gene Rostow name, I think the only really negative comment I've had on that was from Dean Acheson, who feels that he's unpredictable and sort of unmanageable, that he had worked with Rostow before. I think it's Rostow's views about de Gaulle that has bothered Dean most of all.
What are his views on de Gaulle?
Beg pardon?
What are his
views? Well, he seems to be pretty strong pro de Gaulle and thinks that we ought to follow the de Gaulle line. At least he's indicated that privately, but he'll take policy guidance on things like that. No, I think this is a combination. I wouldn't do the Lodge Westmoreland thing right away. Now, Kohler will be here within the next couple of days to be here for my talks with Gromyko, and I'll have a chance to talk about that with him. He was a little reluctant at the beginning, but now that he's been confirmed as career ambassador, I think he'll probably be more relaxed.
Well, he agreed to, though, didn't he?
Well, he did agree if we wanted him to, but he was a little resistant on it. However, I don't think that'll be a problem, and he certainly is a superb operator as far as moving the papers through and staff work and things of that sort. He's a very efficient guy, one of the best organized men I know. We could run into a little flack. I think it's pretty much in the background of that incident about 20 years ago about losing some secret papers. I doubt that Bill Fulbright and Mansfield would be very enthusiastic about him.
No, they're not, but then they thought he ran a poor embassy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think down in that spot, the fact that they've got somebody that's not just Vietnam in it would give them a little hope.
Right. And he certainly ran a very efficient Bureau of European Affairs when he was here in the department.
That's what I'm told. Everybody tells me that. So then you wouldn't look, you would consider favorably Katzenbach, Rostow, Kohler, and McCumber if we
yes,
could work
yes,
it out.
Yes, I would.
Do you think, have you ever had any contact with Gene Rostow?
No, I don't know him well. I've met him two or three.
I wonder why you don't call him, ask him, come down and see, and just say.
All right.
Now, somebody tells me that the Ball has been urging him for number two place and tells him that he's his choice to succeed him and stuff like that. That may upset him. But you might just say that you believe the president has made a commitment to, has some obligation to this other, but that you would like to talk to him about his views and tell him you think it's very essential that men come in here like they go to Vietnam and make a real pitch to him. And then if it looks good, call me and then I'll see him tomorrow.
See you next day. Right, fine. Let me get hold of it.